And we're here with Dan McCarthy, the Director of Executive Development Programs at the Whittemore School of Business and Economics at the University of New Hampshire. Dan is an author of the award-winning leadership development blog, Great Leadership, and is an influential voice in social media. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David.
So, you know, it's funny. You and I have known each other for a little while now, and we talk a lot about the leadership development strategies that are out there. One of the things that I know you write and talk a lot about is how to create one. Can you kind of give me an overview of what that's all about?
Sure. David, I've been around training organizations for 30 years now. I've run a bunch of them and have known a lot of individuals that work in training. And I wrote an article recently called a four-stage leadership development model. And I think there's different levels of maturity when it comes to, you know, practitioners, whether they work in HR, a training department, or whatever. And they're sort of on a continuum when it comes to how strategically aligned they are or how strategic their function is within their organization. And I think on one end of the continuum, and you probably run into these too, David, in your work, is there's these groups that are out there, and they're buried way, way down in the organization chart. They're sort of isolated and irrelevant, right? I mean, they're putting out programs that they think are important. Maybe it's some, you know, cause that they're promoting within the organization. They're often open enrollment, and organizations, sometimes they'll treat them like a harmless employee benefit. But more than often than not, when budgets get tight, and they certainly have been the last couple of years, those are the programs and people that usually get cut from organizations. So I don't know if you've run into these sort of folks with you know, different clients that you've worked with.
Absolutely, no question. No question we have.
Yeah. And then there's those folks that are, you know, way on the other end of the continuum, and they're that, you know, that trusted business partner. Right? They're not just doing what senior management tells them to do, which isn't a bad position to be at. It's a little reactive, but at least you're aligned. But they're often shaping business strategy. You know, they're seen as thought leaders in the organization. And that's kind of the holy grail. Not many trainings, leadership development practitioners, HR people get to that. I think most of us are in sort of that bell curve in the middle. We're doing the best we can. We're reacting. We've got a lot of things on our plate. But we just wish we were more strategically aligned. We wish we had a seat at the table a little more often. And we just wished we had a better sense that what we were doing was really making a difference. And I think those are the folks that I think we can help.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You talk about seat at the table and aligning the strategy with leadership in terms of senior management. And I think that it starts at the top, doesn't it, Dan? I mean, really, when you think about it, you have to have on board the owners or the C-suite people who are really driving what it is that the organization is going to be moving towards and the training that is needed. It all starts at the top.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, somebody once asked me if, you know, if I could wave my magic wand and if I could have one thing, you know, of all the different things we could be doing as far as leadership development, training programs and coaching and mentoring and, you know, assignments and all, what would it be? What would be the one thing that would make the biggest difference within an organization when it came to leadership development? And I've always said it's commitment from the CEO.
No, you're right on the money because it starts at the top.
If you have that, everything else falls into place, right?
No, it's absolutely true. So, you know, one of the things we're talking about here is about strategically setting up that program, starting with what is it that you're dealing with? What are the challenges? What are the goals? Take me a little bit through what you think some of the things companies should think about. What's the timeline they should be looking at? Does it matter?
Absolutely. I think leadership development, it's a long-term activity proposition, right? Succession planning, leadership development, by its nature, you're looking towards the future. And it takes years to develop a good, robust talent pipeline. So I think just by the nature of the work, it is long-term. It's not short-term, you know, sort of tactical teaching, sales skills, engineering skills, that sort of thing. Those things are real important for the here and now. Leadership development tends to be more of a long-term proposition, so you're typically, you know, looking 3-5 years down the road.
That is one of the challenges, isn't it, to have CEOs or C-suite people or even senior HR people understand that, you know, the results are going to take time. And, you know, this era of immediate response, you know, you have to have immediate results, you know, that can be a challenge.
Yeah, most CEOs, what's the average tenure, David? Something like 3
to 5 years. Yes, 3 to 5 years.
So, you know, when you have CEOs sort of looking towards the short term, quarter to quarter bottom line, it's going to be hard. If you don't have their attention, if they didn't already kind of come to the organization with that, you can create it. You know, I've seen some very sharp, influential HR pros take an ambivalent CEO and turn them into a champion. It's water running uphill, but you can do it. But boy, if you don't have that and you've tried and you just have sort of an indifferent CEO, you're going to have a tough job in front of you.
Well, it is education, is it not? And showing the value of what the organization can gain from leadership development, I think that is really a key element of making it successful.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think it's education. I think it's a demonstration that what you're doing, everything that you're doing, is in direct support of the CEO strategy, vision, and goals. I mean, really, that's the litmus test. I mean, you got to be able to just, you know, either you individually or you and your team kind of, you know, put up on a whiteboard or an Excel spreadsheet everything that you're doing. And any CEO should be able to look at that list of activities and say, yeah, those things are helping me and my senior team achieve our strategy. That's the litmus test. You hear a lot about the importance of measuring leadership development and measuring HR and metrics and that sort of thing. I think that's important to a point. I think a lot of it's just kind of self-serving, you know, black magic. But I really think it's more perception than the actual hardcore measurement. I think a CEO or a senior executive should be able to, you know, in 5 minutes, you know, if you gave them an overview of the top 5 things you're working on, they'll make a quick judgment as to whether or not you're strategically aligned.
So tell me how you think would be a good way to create a leadership development strategy.
I'm always amazed. You know, I could ask a room full of HR leaders, training managers, whatever, when's the last time you've talked to your senior leadership about leadership development? If that's, you know, it could be any topic, but in this case, it's leadership development. And if you've done that within the last 3 to 6 months, chances are you're pretty strategically aligned. If it's been more than a year, you've got some work to do. You know, you might be drifting a little bit. And if you never have, then you've got some work to do in front of you. But I think that's the important thing. And in a somewhat structured way, going out and having regular conversations with your C-suite. And when you're talking about leadership development, and especially executive development and succession planning, you've got a free ticket. You've got a pass to go and get an appointment with the CEO and that senior team. I mean, number one, it's important, and they generally like talking about the topic.
Well, that is an excellent point, because really what they're talking about is developing their people. And, you know, one of the things we always see in employee engagement surveys, and interestingly enough, previously on, you know, we were just talking to Heidi Bergeron from IDEX, and she was talking about the employee engagement survey and how important it is. And as she said, they're always asking for more training, more development. So I think that this certainly ties into then taking it the next logical step of, okay, if they're asking for it, then how do we put it together? How do we engage the employees? How do we engage the C-suite to create a powerful, robust leadership training for the next 3 to 5 years?
Right. You know, it's easier said than done. I think, you know, there are a lot of people, maybe they're new in their field, maybe it depends on, you know, where they're, you know, if they're buried way down in the organization chart, they don't feel empowered or whatever, but the idea of sitting there across from a C-level executive and having a conversation could be terrifying. And even if it's not, maybe they just don't know how to do it. You know, they've never done it before. If you'd like, we can kind of walk through sort of a structure that I've used. I know you've talked with a lot of executives too, David, in your work. Maybe we can kind of compare notes and share some of the best practices as far as format and questions that'll work for us when we're having those conversations.
No, that'd be great.
Sure.
Start right off.
Okay. Just getting right into the logistics here, what I would start with is, first of all, getting on their calendars. You know, sort of a tactical thing, but typically you go through the executive assistant, and you treat that executive assistant with a lot of respect. They manage the executive's calendars, and they'll want to know, you know, what is it you want to talk to them about. So if there's anything you can send them ahead of time, any documentation, sample questions that you'd like to ask them and why you want to ask them, you're not going to get 2 hours of their time. You might not even get an hour of their time. Probably a good rule of thumb is to schedule a 30-minute meeting, you know, with each member of the senior executive team. You might not get them all, but, you know, you'll get 75% of them. And then again, always kind of follow up with an email to that executive assistant clarifying what the meeting's about. Because chances are, the night before that meeting, he or she is going to print your email or document out, hand that to the executive, and that's going to be their stack of work for the meetings for the next day. You know, they'll probably look at it the night before just to get a sense as to who's showing up on their doorstep at, you know, 9:45 on a Tuesday. And always remember, you're one of 100 meetings with all sorts of different stakeholders that week. So although what you're there to talk to him or her about is the most important thing in your world, it's one thing. But they're quick studies. That's how they got to where they are. And, you know, with a one-page outline, they'll be up to speed and they'll be ready to talk to you.
You know, I think that's an interesting point, because sometimes, you know, you go in and you may not be prepared to talk to a senior leadership member. And, you know, they're very strategic. They're very on point. It's really not about the fluff or, you know, getting to, quote unquote, know them. It's really about getting right to the point. Time is of the essence. The most important thing a CEO has, or any of their C-suite people have, is time. And that's the most valuable thing to them. I know you and I both talk to them all the time, and we got to get right to the point. They don't really want to have, you know, all that fluff conversation. I think if people can at least understand that, that it's not rude, it's not mean, it's just, let's get to the point, let's get it done. This is business.
Well, that's funny you should mention that, because, you know, you'll get a lot of executives that may be their one opportunity for that day to talk to somebody at maybe your level of the organization. They're talking with board members and analysts and all sorts of different stakeholders. And so they may want to start asking you, oh, tell me about who you are, how long have you worked in the company, and start asking personal questions. That's good, but you have to be careful. You have to kind of manage your time. 5 minutes of that is okay, but if you don't get to the agenda, you'll quickly run out of time.
No, you're absolutely right. So tell me what the second step is.
Sure. I usually start with asking questions about the business goals and challenges. It almost sounds like a cliche, and certainly you want to do your homework going into that kind of a meeting. So, you know, read your annual report, try to get your hands on any internal documents about strategies, goals, speeches the CEO or the executives made, you know, anything that you can get your hand on. Clearly do your homework, but I think even no matter how prepared you are, I think it's good to kind of go in there with some really high-level questions just to kind of put the whole thing in context and demonstrate that you're interested. And that's why you're there. That's where it starts. So you may have your favorite questions. I usually just kind of start off with, so what are your most important goals, objectives, or challenges that you're working on now and in the next few years? To try to get them kind of looking out towards the future. And this one's almost kind of turned into a cliche, and I almost don't use it anymore, but, you know, what keeps you up at night? And the reason I don't use it, because the last couple of years, I've known a couple of executives that they try to be funny, and they'll come back with, well, crying babies, barking dogs, monsters, caffeine keeps me up at night. So it might be getting a little overused.
They may have heard that a few times before, yes.
Yeah, so maybe another version of that.
Well, I think, you know, the other thing that you talk about from this is then talking about the implication of that to them and seeing what they can have for an impact to their organization helps put that in perspective.
Yeah. I don't know, David, when you're starting that conversation with the CEO, do you have anything better than what keeps you up at night?
No, you know, usually what we simply ask is a very simple question, which is, tell me about the challenges that you face. And,
sure.
You know, something that just talks about what it is, that what's impacting their environment. And, of course, in our case, it's asking about, tell me about the challenges that you're facing with your people and with your team and with your organization. Or I might say something, so I know that you have no issues at all, nothing going on. You know, and I appreciate
I
you
like
talking
that.
To me. And they just look at me with that look on the face, and they go,
"That's good."
Yeah, right. And you know, and that opens up the door, and because now at this point they know that you know that there's no such thing as a perfect everything, and so
right.
You know, trying to have that initial dialogue. So it's just part of what it is.
That's good. I like that question. So yeah, then I'll make the transition to leadership or management development. So once they've had a chance to talk about the business goals and, you know, you're listening and paraphrasing and asking maybe a couple follow-up questions, then it's the transition to, and I try to split this up into two pieces, both current managers or current leadership development needs and then future needs. So for the current piece, it's so, okay, given all those challenges, so in your opinion, how prepared are our managers to achieve these goals or address these challenges? And if not fully prepared, then what's missing? You know, maybe another question is, if you can wave your magic wand you know, what would you like to see your manager start doing, stop doing, or continuing to do? So those questions or any variation of that question, it's kind of trying to getting them to open up about their perception of the capabilities, skills, readiness of their current managers to achieve their current and future business objectives.
You know, one of the questions I also ask is, where do you feel that your team or your managers or your leaders, in this case maybe VPs or directors, where do you think that they stand right now today in terms of their leadership development? And, you know, would you have specific areas that they might be better at?
So maybe, you know, to get at it from the perspective of strengths and weaknesses.
Correct. Taking both sides of the coin on that. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I don't know about you, but the one that when you ask about the capabilities of current managers, unless you've got a somewhat of a trusting relationship with that executive or with that CEO, sometimes they might be a little guarded in how they answer that question, because you're talking about one of the most important assets of that organization, the management team. And, you know, that's something that a stock analyst, you know, when they evaluate a company, they'll look at the executive team. So sometimes executives might be a little hesitant to say, well, you know what, I think we're in trouble.
No, it's true.
My executive team couldn't manage their way out of a paper bag.
Yeah, no, it's true. I think what's interesting is that certainly a lot of the times you can almost read it in their face. You know, look, I wouldn't want to play poker with a lot of the CEOs out there today. But the fact is that you can tell based on their body language sometimes what, you know, they think in terms of their needs and issues that are happening in their organization.
Right. So, you know, kind of being aware of that, I think you're right, kind of, you know, reading the body language and that sort of thing, and just kind of tactfully and diplomatically sort of teasing it out of them, trying to figure out, you know, what might be some of the issues, some of the capability gaps that are out there within the current management team. Now, where they tend to be a little more likely to speak up and where you'll tend to get more buy-in is when you talk about the bench or succession planning. So once you kind of transition away from the current executive team and say, well, what about your leadership bench 2-3 levels down in the organization? How confident are you that you've got the talent needed to step into key leadership roles?
And we're talking with Daniel McCarthy, and we'll be right back.
These days, who isn't on a budget? Whether it's a ramen noodles every night budget, a cut back on your cable channels budget, or how in the world am I ever going to put my kids through college budget? Allstate has something just for you. The Allstate Value Plan. It's their most affordable car insurance, and it still comes with an Allstate agent. Plus, the Value Plan includes Allstate Easy Pay, so you can stay on top of your payments without even thinking about it. The Allstate Value Plan. It's the kind of car insurance that fits any kind of budget. It's Allstate for all.
There's an Allstate policy for everyone. Why not see how much you can save with the Allstate Value Plan? Find an agent near you at allstate.com today. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and their affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
The Allstate Value Plan. Dollar for dollar. Nobody protects you like Allstate.
And we're back with Daniel McCarthy from the University of New Hampshire's Whittemore School of Business and Economics. Dan, thanks for being with us today.
Sure, David.
Okay, so you're very welcome. So we've been talking a little about leadership programs and development and so forth. You know, we've talked about a couple of the steps right at the beginning. Tell me how you should wrap up that in regards to the CEO.
You know, you have a chance to talk about the bench and succession planning, and CEOs are usually a little more open about talking about investing and willing to invest in their next generation in leaders. But I always like to ask them how satisfied they are with our current leadership development programs. For example, we're currently doing, and talk about the program, Find out if they've heard about it. Anything, positive, negative. Is there anything they'd like to see happening that's not happening? So that'll give you a sense for how in touch they are with what's going on right now, what kind of an impact you're making, if they've heard anything, any constructive feedback. But it's a good thing just to kind of check in and see if they have any awareness of what you're doing, and, you know, thank them for their time and let them know that you'll be sending them a summary of what you talked about. And their comments from all the executive team will be the input into your leadership development strategy. And when you send that document back to them, they'll recognize it. They'll recognize their thoughts. You know, it'll be as if they wrote it. And you'll have that buy-in and that ownership and commitment.
Do you think that leadership today, leadership development today, because obviously over the last couple of years it's taken a hit due to the economy, of course. Do you think that today it's starting to see a real resurgence? I know certainly we are seeing it at CMA, but are you seeing a real resurgence in a effort by teams to go out there and really start teaching leadership development again?
You know, there's an old, rule of thumb, cliche, whatever. When budgets get tight, training programs get cut. I don't think that's true these days with executive development and leadership development. And I'm seeing this in some national rankings and surveys and that sort of thing. I think that the top-performing companies, they're not cutting back on their leadership development efforts, on their programs. In fact, they're investing in those programs, and they're seeing a real bottom-line ROI result. So hopefully CEOs, they like to play follow the leader and benchmark and network and take a look at the successful companies and try to figure out what they're doing right. Well, leadership development is one of those things that the most financially successful companies are doing right.
So, you know, it's funny. I'm here on your great leadershipbydan.com blog site. And I'll say that again, greatleadershipbydan.com blog site. And you have a very interesting topic here. It's 10 clues that you've signed up for a crappy training program. So, first of all, have you been to crappy training programs, Dan?
I wish I could have those days and weeks of my life back, but I can't. But yes, I have. But I will tell you, if your listeners take a look at this post, they may recognize a few things that they've done within their own training programs that are mentioned in my article. So in a past life, I may have done a few of these.
You know, one of the other things we talk about is a cult-like training program. Describe what that would be.
It's hard. I know it when I see it. And some of the key words, when I see things like cosmic-sounding words, and programs that incorporate things like firewalking, chanting, meditation. They use words like transformational, life-changing, empowering. I just say those raise red flags for me. And, you know, my caution to listeners would be buyer beware. A lot of that stuff is just hooey. You know, if you want to do that on your own time, I suppose it's your money. Go ahead and waste it. But I think organizations have no business investing their shareholders' money in these kind of programs.
So, you know, one of the things that I wanted to make sure I gave you an opportunity to quickly talk about as we get ready to wrap up here is the programs that you offer and some of the things that are done by the great university. So give a kind of an overview of where people can go to find this information and how they can make that happen.
Yeah, thanks, David. You know, you can go right to the University of New Hampshire website or the Whittemore School of Business and Economics and look under executive development programs. People can certainly call me or email me at daniel.mccarthy@unh.edu. We do custom executive development programs. I pride myself on our flexibility and our willingness to use a lot of the same sort of skills and processes and techniques that we've talked about the last half hour to go into an organization and make sure that what we design for an organization is helping those businesses achieve their business goals. So that's what we do. We put custom programs together, and I'm really excited that in about another month, we're going to announce some new open enrollment programs that are be available to smaller to medium-sized businesses that maybe don't have enough managers for a custom program. And we've got two new programs that we'll be offering in the spring of next year. One will be called the Next Level Executive Development Program, and that'll be for that next level of emerging high-potential senior executives. And the other one will be a women's leadership development program. And that'll be for, again, both profit and nonprofit organizations that want to invest in the capability of their emerging women leaders.
No, I think that's great. And certainly people can go to hrpowerhour.com and we will have a link to you and your organization. Dan, thank you so much for being on with us today. You've done a great job and we appreciate all the information you've provided today.
Thanks, David. My pleasure. Thanks again for having me.